when I go home. Of course, I've shared many stories about my going home to visit my nieces and nephews. And when I do that, they're always, of course, as you can imagine, happy to see me. They like to show me all the projects that they've been working on as of late. These summer months, they've been doing all kinds of artwork and Lego sculptures and new dance moves. And when they get a chance to go swimming, they like to show us how long they can hold their breath underwater. In fact, my nephew was so excited when I came home last weekend that he said, "You know what? My dad let me cut the lawn for the very first time." And so he got to do just a couple laps with his dad walking beside him, and he felt so grown up, and he thought that was just the coolest thing in the world. But, you know, I had to apply with a little warning that, you know, in a couple years you might not be so happy that you begged for this opportunity, you know, to take over this chore because you'll be doing it. And so I didn't quite get it yet, but that's okay. And so these visits, as you can imagine, are always fun for me, as all of you know from watching your own children or grandchildren grow and watching them experience things in life for the very first time. They enjoy at that age talking to adults and are usually pretty comfortable around us. However, it's always interesting to me when my nieces and nephews come down to Resurrection occasionally to visit me. Maybe we're having a parish festival, or it's Christmas Mass or Easter Mass, and they'll make the trip down every once in a while. But it's interesting to see that after Mass, when I go back to the gathering space to greet and welcome them, that the attitude changes very clearly for my nieces and nephews after they see me dressed up in clerics, talking to people and how much respect that the people show the priests, even those that are older than us. And when they come to Mass and they see me dressed in these strange robes with my voice amplified, leading huge crowds of people in prayer and preaching to them, they're absolutely stunned. And after Mass, again, when I come up to them just to say hi, they just don't know what to say. But I know, as Jesus did, exactly what they are thinking. They're asking themselves, is this the same uncle that comes over to my house in jeans and t-shirts to eat with us every once in a while? Is this the same uncle that always comes over alone with grandma and grandpa to visit for a few hours, maybe play a few games with us, and then leaves to go back to this strange place called Rochester? Is this the same uncle that helps me color once in a while, teaches me some magic from time to time, and maybe gets food on his face while he sits and eats with us, making us laugh? Who is this guy that I thought I knew, whom everyone listens to and wants to talk to, like he's someone significant or important? They are indeed confused. Even though they have their own parish priest at home in their own parishes, they still have trouble reconciling that their uncle can be their uncle and also a priest at the same time. For those who grew up with Jesus, we hear in our gospel today that their curiosity and shock were the same, including his brothers and sisters. We have to be a little careful with that word because it means a little bit something different than our brothers and sisters literally mean our siblings. But in Jesus' time, that Greek word that was used also meant cousins and extended family, which we know was the case for Jesus. But they asked themselves those same questions. Is this the same Jesus, the son of the carpenter, who always worked quietly and made the bunk beds for our children in our home? Is this the same Jesus who was homeschooled with our children and only received a very basic education? Is this the same Jesus who, like many of us in Nazareth, grew up poor and of little importance, who stayed at home a lot to help his mother and father? And yet now he goes away for a time, leaving his mother behind, and returns months later, suddenly preaching and healing, like a man of great importance, like the prophets of old, teaching with a new wisdom, with a new authority, with 12 helpers, 12 assistants that hang on his every word and do his bidding, and many more followers. Where did he get this knowledge, this wisdom, this power in such a short time? Who was this man? Is this the same Jesus? They could, just like my nieces and nephews, they could not reconcile the Jesus that they grew up with to the one they were seeing now. And this made having faith in him very difficult. Jesus, of course, saw this coming because he is, as we know, much more than a prophet. He is the Son of God, as we know him and believe him to be. But their inability to be open to believe in him, we can imagine, made Jesus very sad. So because they had very little faith in their hearts, the gospel tells us that he could do few miracles there in town. And so the world today, too, is challenged with similar questions today that we might hear as we go out shopping, as we go to work, from our coworkers. It might be even questions from our own family members, or we may hear them on TV. Is this Jesus, is this the same Jesus who walked the earth over 2,000 years ago, one we pray to today? Is he truly the Son of God still? Is he really any different than Moses or Elijah or Muhammad or Buddha or any of the wise men and prophets of the world who have come before? Is his teaching really that unique? Is it the only valid one that leads to the fullness of the truth that God wants us to have? Well, those are the questions we get today in our world. But for us Christians, the answer to these questions has to be yes. It has to be yes to these questions that reside in the hearts of many unbelievers today. The good news is, for those that doubt, for those who do not have a relationship with Christ or a strong relationship with Christ, we can teach them. We can model that for them. For the more we pray, the more we use the sacraments that Christ has given us, the more our faith will remain strong. And the stronger our faith becomes, the more we'll be confident and be able to go out and witness to the truth. Truth of Jesus, and sharing that truth with others will indeed then bear fruit in our lives. And also, the church always encourages us to reflect on the fact that the more our lives become centered in Christ through prayer, and through the sharing of our faith, the more we will then see Christ, as Pope Francis always calls us to do, to see the face of Christ in the poor, in the ignorant, and in the suffering, and those who are struggling to believe. And then we'll be inspired. And the more we can reach out to them in love to share that message of the gospel to them, so that we can slowly, if everyone tries to slowly, change the world we live in for the better by bringing that light of Christ's love to those who are in need of it.